Brother Murphy's been a blessing to our church many times. I'm glad he's back. He's at the football camp this week. He'll be speaking over there, I think he said, on Thursday. A lot of fellows preaching this week. Good number of boys again this year. Some of our fellows over there tonight with Brother Hall and Brother Bragg. So I'm glad our boys could go and be a part of it. I was there all week last year. I will not be all week this year. I'll be in and out. But with the grandkids here, I told Brother Woodward, I'm sorry you take second place this week. Amen. So, but anyway, I'm glad Brother Murphy's here. He'll preach to us. Who's singing tonight? Who is up on the ticket tonight? McDonald's are. Come on. All right. Sing for us. And after they're done, then you give your undivided attention to Brother Murphy, and we'll be happy to hear him. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. That was good. Amen. I appreciate that song and the truth with that song. And praise God for the way it was sung. Wasn't that a blessing? Yeah, what a tremendous blending and all of that that they had together there. And that's a good way to use your talents. Amen. And they sounded tremendous. I may try to write up a contract, take them on the road with me or something. Amen. Usually I got to do my own singing when I'm on the road. Yeah. And I sing every once in a while, you know. And Jesus loves me, this I know. But there's kind of a testimony song that I like to sing from time to time. And it's called Five Rows Back. And I was about five rows. Actually, I was sitting in the back row. But there was only five rows. And I was one of those backseat individuals. But, I like to sing it from time to time. You want me to sing it? I mean, you know, I'll sing it for you. All right. I'm not as good as these guys that were up here. Amen. Well, I really wasn't one for going to church, you see. But I went that night. Somehow, in spite of that, they assured me in with a warm and tender smile. From five rows back, there I sat. Five rows back, I remember it well. The story of Jesus, I heard Him tell. He told about heaven, and He warned about hell. From five rows back, there I sat. Oh, the words of the preacher man were arrows of burning truth. They pierced my heart as he spoke so earnestly. He told how Jesus suffered, how he bled, and he died. And he did it just for folks like you and me. And the choir was singing, "Just as I am." I knew I was lost. My life was a sham. So I came and was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From five rows back, praise God, I came, and what a change. Things are different now. Peace and happiness fill my heart. Well, Jesus walks and talks with me each passing day. And now I know that through the years of time and through eternity, I'll not forget that night when my sins were washed away. And the choir was singing, "Just as I am." I knew I was lost. My life was a sham. So I came and was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From five rows back, praise God, I came. From five rows back, praise God, I came.
Thank you very much.
My mom and dad got saved, and when they got saved, my dad come home, dumped all the booze down the drain. And my mother, she gathered up all the ashtrays and cigarettes and put them in a trash can and threw them out. And they just started cleaning the house. But one thing my mother had a hard time getting rid of was her old Elvis Presley albums. She loved Elvis Presley. I grew up listening to Elvis Presley. And I even developed a sermon, an Elvis Presley sermon, I call it. Acts chapter 16, you know, when Paul and Silas were in prison and had the earthquake. And the title of the message is Jailhouse Rock. Point number one, they were all shook up. Point number two, they were caught in a trap. Of course, that's not a title of a song. You know, it's Suspicious Minds. That's just a chorus. Well, if you know Elvis, you know what I'm talking about. I was caught in a trap. But anyways. And then, of course, the Philippian jailer, he was going to, you know, take that sword and thrust himself through. And my third point is, don't be cruel. And then, you know, what must I do to be saved? And my last point is, love me tender. For God so loved the world. Mama, no, I'm just kidding about that. But anyways, you know, that influence that you have growing up like that sometimes. But, you know, she finally got the victory. Amen? But every once in a while, she wants me to sing an Elvis song to her. And, you know, I'll sing Elvis probably, you know, when I preach a sermon, I'll sing an Elvis song. But I'm just kidding. But anyways, you know, I just thank the Lord for being saved. Amen? And thank God, never forget that day when I trusted the Lord as my Savior. What a day. And I thank God for it. And it never grows old. And I appreciate it every day. Every day I thank the Lord for saving my wretched hide. Amen? And so every day I'm a work in process every day. But, you know, I have more fun being a Christian in my Christianity than I did when I was in the world. Amen. All that was synthetic. You know, that worldly joy, that was just synthetic. It didn't last. But, you know, as a Christian, I am who I am, you know. And that's the way the Lord made me. And I like having a good time. And I think, you know, a lot of times, I mean, God's people, you know, you look around the country, and I preach across the country. I look out in the faces of many of the people of God, and it looks like they're not happy. They're just not happy. And no joy, you know. They've allowed something to steal away the joy. And boy, if there's ever a people that needs to be rejoicing and happy, it's God's people. And, you know, in whatsoever state I am, there were to be content, the Apostle Paul was saying. And so, as Christians, we have no other choice but to rejoice, even in those tough times. Amen? And so I thank the Lord for that. But God has led me tonight to preach out of Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to start reading verse number 1, Acts chapter 28. And this is where the Lord's led me tonight. And so hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing and be a help to you. In the book of Acts and chapter 28, notice what the Bible says there in verse number 1. Of course, Paul's on the last leg of his fourth evangelistic crusade on his way to Rome to preach the gospel. And as he was traveling, they hit a storm and things start happening. And now they crash landed upon this island. And, you know, it's a picture of our life. Many times we get in a storm. Amen. We go through some tough times and things of that nature. Man. These fellas, I mean, they were staring death straight in the face. They didn't know if they were going to make it or not. And they had suffered a great amount of loss and harm. And things were happening. They had to throw everything overboard and all of that. But finally, the Bible says, and they escaped all safe to land. Amen. Doesn't matter what we go through, we can still make it. Who's with me? Say amen. Doesn't matter what storm, what trial, what tragedy, what you're going through in your Christian life, what type of storm, you can make it. Amen. And God has a plan, a purpose. And they landed on this island. Man, they were wore out, beat, battered. They were frustrated. I mean, man, they just come up out of that sea with just the clothes on their back. And man, they needed some encouragement. They needed something that would help them to continue on. In their journey, and the Bible says there, and when they escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. That's what they needed. Amen. They needed a fire. That's what God's people need. We need a fire in our life. Many times we'll battle, we'll fight, we're out there in the world and storms, and we're struggling. I mean, we don't need a new health care plan. Who's with me? We don't need a bailout. We don't need any help, you know, from the government, any man-made type of mechanism that's out there today. God's people need a fire. We need to get that old-fashioned fire kindled in our life where God can use us, encourage us to continue on. If there's one thing I've noticed in our churches today, many of churches are fires dying out. Don't want the fire to die out. You want the fire to burn bright, bold, brilliant, brazen. Amen. For the glory of God, keep that fire going. Stay fired up to serve the Lord. Stay fired up in your ministry. Stay fired up on that bus route. Stay fired up in that Sunday school class. Stay fired up teaching those young people in the Christian school. Have a fire for God. Who's with me? Say amen. Have a fire in your life. And so they got that fire going. And the Bible says that verse number 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. Apparently, Paul thought the fire was dying out. Amen? No, listen, once God gets that fire going in your heart, the last thing you want to see happen is that fire die out in your life. You need to determine in your heart to do everything to fan that flame. Amen? To keep that flame going. Paul went out, man. He didn't want it to die out. He knew how much of a blessing that fire was to his fellow travelers. And man, he noticed that something was dying, so he started to fan that flame and gathered those sticks. And it doesn't take much to get a fire going. Amen? He just had a bundle of sticks. And oh, listen, you just have a willing and obedient spirit. God can use that to fan the flame. God can use that to keep the fire going in your heart. Every time you pray, you fan the flame. Every time you get on the altar and pray, you fan the flame. Every time you give in the offering and give to missions and give, hey, you're fanning the flame. Amen. Don't be a Christian used by the devil to pour cold water on the flame of God. Amen. Don't be one of those individuals that, you know, just get disgruntled and you start to belly and complain about things and you're just pouring cold water on that fire that God has placed in that person's heart. You know, your child comes forward, 7, 8 years old, surrenders to the mission field. Mom and Dad, you need to fan that flame. Amen. Don't pour cold water on a decision a young person makes. Don't pour cold water on that. I mean, that's the work of the devil. He just walks around with a fire extinguisher trying to put people's fires out. Who's with me? Get that fire for God and let that flame continue to burn. Do everything in your power to fan that flame. And notice as Paul was diligent about the master's business, keeping that fire going, the Bible says there in verse number 3 there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now notice the Apostle Paul, he was busy about doing God's work, and all of a sudden he was attacked. Are you with me? I mean, wow, that viper came out. That poisonous snake bit the Apostle Paul right on the hand. And any time you determine to set out to do something for God, the devil, he's not going to sit idly by and allow you live for God. He's going to do everything in his power to try to stop you. He's going to try to stop you from serving God. And notice the Bible says that snake, and that's what the devil is. He's just a snake. Amen? He's just a snake in the grass that shows no mercy, and anything that he sets out to do is always lethal. Are you with me? He wants to destroy. He wants to see the work of God diminish and die out. And he's bent on destroying your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. Who's with me? That's that viper. That's that snake. That's the old devil. He come up out of that heat. He didn't come up out of the fire. He came up out of the heat out there on the fringe where most Christians live their lives. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, that's with the devil. He's gonna attack some people. He's gonna attack some things. And oh, the viper came out, and he'll attack. He'll destroy your marriage if you don't watch out. He'll destroy your ministry. Are you with me? Say amen. He'll do everything to destroy your testimony. I mean, a life, a testimony that you've been faithful in building for 20 years. I mean, can be snuffed out in just a moment of time, yielding to the lust of the flesh. Are you with me? Say amen. No, that viper come up out of that heat. No, mark it down, the devil. He has all kind of vipers out there. Are you with me? He's got the vipers of all sorts of jealousy and envy. And he's got vipers all over the place. You know, if you're not careful, you're going to get bit. You're going to get bit. And so notice the Bible says the Apostle Paul, he got bit, but notice how he responded to this viper that fastened on his hand. Verse number 4, the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand and said to themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. Notice he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after he had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. And they changed their minds. Who's with me? Say amen. They changed their minds. That's how God wants to use us. He wants to use us to make a difference. He wants to use us to change people's minds about the things of God. He wants to use us to change their philosophy and their teaching and to change, their attitude that they have toward a true biblical fundamental Christianity. I'm talking about that old-fashioned, amen, type of Christianity that God's going to use to make a difference in society today. They changed their minds. Why did they change their minds? Because the Apostle Paul, he wouldn't let that snake bite. He wouldn't let that viper stop him from serving God. Amen. You can't let problems and all sorts of things keep you from doing what God wants you to do with your life. We need to develop this same type of technique that the Apostle Paul had here in this passage of Scripture, that when we're faced with these vipers, faced with these things, we need to learn to just shake it off. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, God's people need to determine in their heart to shake these things off. Amen. What's the problem today in Christianity? We let things get into our lives, and rather than shake them off, we let them build. We let them fester. We let them take root. And it's not long before those things, they overpower us. And our strength is diminished. And we just don't have the fervor. We just don't have the fire to want to serve God. Oh, if there's one thing you need to develop in your Christian life that's going to help you to continue on to serve God, to make a difference that'll change people's minds, you need to learn to shake these things off. Shake it off. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake it off. Shake off that viper that's trying to keep you from having a right relationship with your wife, or a right relationship with your husband, or a right relationship with the children and the parents. Are you with me? You need to develop that same technique. There Paul was. He's doing the work of God. He's trying to be a blessing, trying to be an encouragement. All of a sudden, here comes that snake. Pow! I mean, right on at his hand. And what did he do? Did he bellyache? Did he complain? Did he gripe? Did he feel sorry for himself? No, he shook that thing off. Right into the fire. That's why we need a fire. Amen. Well, a place where we can dispose of those things. To get rid of them. You know, he threw it in the fire. He didn't place it up on a shelf. And save it for later. He wasn't worried about what people thought. He wasn't worried about, you know, what the environmentalists thought of that viper. You know, he wasn't standing there thinking, I wonder if it's protected. That looks like a spotted viper. The last thing I want to do is get in trouble with the environmentalist crowd. I'm just going to let it loose and let it just go off into the weeds. Choo, 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 choo. He took that viper, pow, right in the fire. Dispose of it. Get rid of it. He didn't want that thing coming around and biting him again. He didn't want that thing to maybe sneak off and bite somebody else. He knew he had to get rid of that thing. Amen. You need to get rid of that thing in your life that's hindering you from having the power of God. Amen. Having you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You need to get rid of it. You need to shake it off. Amen. Shake it off. Get it out of your life. Don't let it exist. Don't let it continue. I mean, shake that thing off. Into the fire. You that have grew up playing ball or in some type of athletic environment, you know what I'm talking about when I use the phrase, shake it off. You know, that's the favorite phrase that coaches like to use. When you're in pain, you know, you've been injured. I remember, you know, back when I was a senior, we were playing baseball. I was at a Christian school, but there weren't very many Christian schools around. So we played public schools. And we played baseball against these schools. And we were in a game. And it was intense. And they're kind of like our rivals. And the game was tied. It was in the last inning. And I was on first base. My buddy was up to bat. And I knew if I could get to second, that he would hit us. He would hit the ball out in the outfield. And I would be able to run around third and come home and score the winning run and be the hero. But my teammates lift me up on their shoulders and carry me around. I was a lot thinner back then, amen? I need a backhoe to lift me up. You know, I've gotten so big my bathtub has stretch marks, amen? But anyways, I was on first base. I was watching the pitcher. I was going to try to steal second. I'm going to steal second base, man. And so I was watching him. I'm looking at the coach. You know, he'd give me all the signals. And so, I took off for second base.
I was running, I mean, like molasses in winter. Amen. I wasn't a very fast runner. I was quick, but I wasn't fast. Quick, but I wasn't fast. But anyway, and so I'm watching the catcher. He got the ball. He throws it down. The shortstop comes over. He takes the throw. He puts the glove down in front of the base. I'm 3 feet away. I'm out. But I had an epiphany and a vision, an idea. I faked the slide, and I dove over the top of them. And I landed on the base. And I heard the umpire, safe! I was safe at second. But some of you may remember back in the 70s, the way they would fasten down those bases. They have a base, had a big, like a belt buckle around the thing, and it had a metal stake in the ground. And that's how they fastened those bases down. Every once in a while, that base would shift and expose that metal stake. And when I jumped over, I landed on that metal stake on my hip, and it immediately paralyzed me. My leg was paralyzed. I couldn't make it. I was limping. Oh, man, what a sacrifice. I'm thinking to myself, that guy's going to need to hit a home run. I'm not going to make it home. I'm hurt. I'm injured. And he struck out. So I stole second for nothing. I've got a big old bulge and a big old bruise on my hip. I can't walk. I go up to the dugout. I'm limping in. I said, Coach, I can't go on. I'm in too much pain. I hurt too bad. What do you think my coach said to me? Shake it off. I'm like, shake it off? What are you talking about? In pain. Is that one of those catchphrases that these coaches learn in some special coaching school? You know, shake it off. Coach, you don't understand. I am in pain. He looks at me and says, son, pain is just weakness leaving the body. I went, what? What book did that come out of? He said, listen, you can't quit. You got a pain. You got to play through the pain. You got to get out there. Your teammates, they need you. You got to get out there and man your post. Man your position. This game is intense. We don't need you on the bench. I know you're hurting. I know you're in pain. I know you've been injured. But you need to keep going. You need to shake it off. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake it off. God's people need to develop that technique. We need to learn that principle in our lives. We let too many things bother us. Too many things that we let into our life. And it's a viper from the devil. Who's with me? Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off that discouragement. Shake off that disappointment. Shake off those things that Satan's trying to use to keep you from having a full, happy, prosperous Christian life that's bringing honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul got bit, but he didn't quit. Why? He shook it off. What did he have to shake off? Well, he had to shake off, here in this passage of Scripture, false accusations. He had to shake off false accusations. They falsely accused him. I mean, you know, they saw him get bit. You know, they helped him, and all of a sudden he got bit, and all that. Oh, well, there he is. I mean, that shows you right there what kind of guy he is. Isn't that just human nature? Somebody goes through a problem, someone having a difficult time, and we want to sit back and say, oh, yep, got sin in your life. Who's with me? That guy must have sin in his life. He wouldn't be struggling the way he's struggling. Oh, listen, there's going to be time that you do something for God. You live for God. There's going to come times when you're going to be attacked. There's going to be rumors. There's going to be lies. There's going to be criticisms. There's going to be all sorts of these vipers that are out there that's going to attack your life. What do you need to do? Shake off those false accusations. Shake off those rumors. Shake off that critical spirit. Shake off the criticisms that are out there. Shake off those rumors. Shake off those lies. Shake them off. We get falsely accused. The first thing we want to do is what? Who said that about me? Are you with me? Who said that about me? Well, I'll line him out. Who said that? And all the time there's that viper hanging on you. Now you're developing a bad attitude. Who's with me? Oh, listen, if you just take that attack, you just take that accusation, you just take those things and those rumors and things of that nature, and you just shake them off into that fire, shake it off. You know who was falsely accused? Joseph. Joseph was falsely accused of rape. Are you with me? He tried to rape me. He come in here. Look, I got his coat right here. And he trying to do some things. It wasn't proper. And so Potiphar, I mean, he had him thrown in jail. There's Joseph. He's just trying to do his job. He's just trying to do right. He just wanted to do right. You know, his brothers accused him of having some type of special standing with their father. And the brothers falsely accused him. And family. And all sorts of false accusations came upon Joseph and his life. Whose women say amen? There he is in prison. I mean, in prison for all that time. And while Joseph was there, was he sulking? Was he bellyaching? No, what did he do? He shook off that viper. He shook off that accusation. He just shook that thing off and went on for God. Wasn't long before God had vindicated him, put him second in command. God used him to literally save the known world from starvation. Are you with me? Say amen. What if he didn't shake that off? He'd probably still be in jail, rotting away, right with his attitude. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake off those false accusations. Of course, you know, Job was falsely accused by his buddies. You know, they came in there and they accused him of all sorts of things. But Job, you know, and his wife came and said, curse God and die. You brought this on yourself. Are you with me? And oh, listen, he had them viper. He had all those vipers. What did he do? He shook them off. Amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, for I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. Naked came out in the world. Naked shall I return, the Lord give it to the Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And what happened? The end of the book of Job. He received double. Why? He had that technique. When he was falsely accused, he shook it off into the fire. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake it off. Stop worrying about the rumors. Stop worrying about the critics. Stop worrying about the dissension. Amen. All of that. You just shake it off. You just shake those things off. No, listen. God's going to bless you because of it. And so he was able to shake off these false accusations. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. Paul's a murderer. Oh, listen to me. Who was falsely accused? Jesus Christ himself. It was lies and rumors and false accusations that nailed him to the cross. Manufactured lies. Who's with me? That's right. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be, he can forgive people their sins. He claimed he'd destroy the temple, rise it up in 3 days. I mean, listen, they developed all sorts of lies against the Lord. But the Lord, what did he do? He shook it off. Went to the cross. Amen. Shook off all of those things. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen. Won't you just shake off that false accusation? What do you have to shake off? Not only false accusations, but he had to shake off feelings of animosity. Who's with me? Feelings of animosity. Oh, listen, the Bible says when he got bit, the Word of God, and this is the Scriptures, amen? The Bible says that he felt no harm. Howbeit they look when he should have swollen. You know, if you let that viper hang on too long, you start to swell. You with me? I mean, just like a lot of God's people, they sit out there in the congregation and they swell up, you know, like a bullfrog in a hailstorm.
You ain't going to tell me. You ain't going to tell me that. You know, I don't agree with that.
Who's with me? Say amen. And then he says, he should have sworn. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says there, this man is a murderer. And the Bible says he should have swollen or fallen down dead. He should be dead. That guy should be dead, and that's what happens. You let that viper hang around too long, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill your spirit. It'll kill the spirit of the church. Shake off that viper. And the Bible says they saw no harm. No harm. It's a picture of God's people. When we get bit, we shouldn't have animosity. Don't let animosity or bitterness, are you with me? Keep you from doing what God wants you to do with your life. Shake off those things. Shake off that bitterness. Shake off those hurt feelings. Too many of God's people walking around with hurt feelings. Something that happened 20 years ago. You knock on people's doors and say, I don't go to church anymore. Because of the people. They said something bad about me. And now they got hurt feelings. Been out of church for 20 years. Not going to have the power of God in your life when you hold on to that bitterness. When you hold on to that animosity. When you hold a grudge. Are you with me? You know, Joseph didn't hold a grudge. There he was. Second in command. I mean, everybody's starving. 7 years of famine. The people come to Egypt. They're all lining up. There's Joseph. He's passing out the wheat. Passing out the wheat. Passing. Here come his brothers. Those fellas threw me in the pit. Don't give them any wheat. We're not going to give them nothing. Those people did some bad things against me. And I'm hurt about that. Who's with me? He passed out the wheat to his brothers. There goes his brothers. Here comes Potiphar and his wife. Oh, boy, they don't get no wheat. And that woman right there is the devil woman. No, you know, I think Joseph probably did. She come by, he come by. Here, give me two bags. So two. Give me two more. Here, two more bags. Why? Because Joseph wasn't a grudge holder. He didn't hold a grudge against people. You can't hold a grudge. You can't expect God to bless your life when you're holding on to something. Amen. You need to shake off those things. Shake off those hurt feelings. Shake off that bitterness. That all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen! Who's with me? Say amen. You got to shake off those hurt feelings. I know people, man, they've been... And then what happens is, it's not long, you allow that animosity, you allow that bitterness, holding a grudge in your life, eventually it's going to kill you spiritually. You become ineffective in all points of your life. Bitterness, if not dealt with, will go on from generation to generation to generation. Your kids will develop a bad attitude about Christianity, a bad attitude about the things of God. Who's with me? Say amen. And you see it happening over and over in these people that are compromising their stand with God. You know where it all stems? You know that go to their charismatic, all these young people go in this charismatic movement? Because they've been hurt. And they didn't develop a technique of shaking it off. Amen. Oh, those fundamentalists, bunch of legalists, always telling you what to do. They don't have no love. They don't have no compassion. Forget them. I'll go to someplace else. You know why they go there? Hurt feelings. All goes back to hurt feelings. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake it off. Shake off that vapor of animosity. Shake off that vapor of accusations. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Oh, wow. They saw no harm. And now they said he was God. They changed their minds and thought that he was God. All of a sudden, you see this. You see these people. They're going to worship. They're going to worship the Apostle Paul. That same thing happened back in Acts. You remember Paul and Barnabas? They thought they were some kind of gods that came down from Jupiter or came down from outer space or something like that. Now all of a sudden, we see this man worship. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, you know what that stems from? That stems from pride. All it is pride. And I suppose for a moment as they were all patting Paul on the back and just saying, man, you're a great man and you're wonderful, man. You're the man. You're the hero. And I bet for a moment Paul, he started thinking, yeah, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm great. You know, there's some people think that, you know, they're God's gift to fundamentalism. No, listen, that's the problem. Sometimes we get to worshiping these men, put them so high up on a pedestal, when they fall, pow! It has an unbelievable effect in the work of God. We got to shake it off. Who's with me? Say amen. Shake that off. Shake off that arrogant, proud, haughty type of spirit that you've allowed to develop in your life. Who's with me? Say amen. Pride. Oh, listen, that old pride, it comes from the devil. He lifted himself up in pride, you remember? I'm going to be like the Most High God. I am God. I'm the one. No, he lifted, and the Lord brought him down to the pit and created hell for the devil and his angels. And that key element that caused him to do that was pride. Shake off that pride. Amen. You look at the Bible, man, all these people that get proud. Look at Saul. Saul, he got hurt feelings toward David. They cheered for Saul's 1,000, but they cheered for David's 10,000. He got a bad attitude, started throwing javelins at him. Who's with me? I mean, you know, Saul started out humble. He started out humble. But then all of a sudden, he got haughty. He started getting kind of proud. And then that haughtiness turned to what? Hatred. Hated. He hated David so bad he wanted to kill him. Are you with me? That's pride, man. That's what pride gets in our life. We need to shake that pride off. We're only what we are by the grace of God. Amen? Shake off that thing. I mean, there was the Apostle Paul. He was bit by that viper. Bit by accusations and animosity and arrogance. He took those vipers and poof. Shook them off into the fire. Amen. Shake it off. Who's with me? Say amen. He shook it off immediately. He didn't let it hang around. He didn't just walk around with it and say, hey, look at my pet viper. My pet viper. My pet viper. I'm going to stick it in my pocket. Got me a pet viper. Who's with me? No. He shook it off immediately. When that thing hit his hand, pow! He shook it off with some intensity. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, look at there, a viper. What am I supposed to do about that? I suppose I better get rid of it. And get rid of it. Pardon me. No. I mean, get out of my way, I got a snake, pow! Everybody's like, whoa! What was that? Apostle Paul, you know, he's showing some intensity. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, you know. I mean, parents. You know, there's nothing wrong with your kids seeing you get a little bit upset about their sin. Well, sometimes the pastor's got to get up and skin some people. You got to thank God for that. Amen? That's exactly right. I mean, it's called righteous indignation. Righteous anger. Get rid of it. I don't want it in the house. Who's with me? Say amen. My dad, when we used to get the Sports Illustrated, they came out with the swimsuit edition. He come home and saw it on the coffee table and said, what in the world? It looks like a Playboy magazine. He said, son, what are you doing with this? I said, it's the Sports Illustrated. We've been getting the Sports Illustrated now for 2 years. It just happens to be one of the editions. I suppose that's the uniform for the Olympic swim team. I don't know. He said, that's pornography. That pornography. I don't want it in my house. Don't ever allow that. Rip it up in front of us. You could see the fire in his eyes. That he meant business. I tried to convince him. I said, Dad, it's just one bad issue. We can get the 11. This is a bad one. We'll throw it away. He said, no. Cancel the subscription. As far as I'm concerned, Sports Illustrated, join up with the Hugh Hefner crowd. And if I see it in the house again, it's not going to be pleasant. Oh, when do we mean business? Who's with me? Say amen. Shake off that viper individually. Paul wasn't worrying about everybody else's viper. He just took care of his viper.
You just take care of your own viper. Don't worry about everybody else's viper. Don't worry about your neighbor's viper. Don't worry about the fellow across the aisle from you. Don't worry about their viper. You just take care of your viper. You need to shake it off. Shake it off. Old farmer down in Texas, there was a bad drought. You're from Texas, man. I'll pray for you. Amen. Someone in the back there is calling to be saved. But the noise! No. But that ground will crack open. One day he come out to get his mule, feed his mule, wasn't around. He heard it out there. He come over and it fell in one of those cracks. He didn't have any farm equipment to get it out, so he thought, man, I don't want my old mule, Blue. I don't want old Blue to die. I'm just gonna have to cover him up. So he took some dirt, he threw it in there and got some dirt, and he was burying that. He gonna bury that mule alive. But every time a shovel of dirt hit old Blue in the back, he'd shake a little bit and stomp it down. He'd shake a little bit and stomp it down. That dirt hit him in the back, he'd shake and stomp it down. And after a process of time, that farmer threw in so much dirt. Are you with me? So much dirt, that mule stomped so much down that eventually he was able to walk right out of that crack and survive. Oh, Blue! My mule made it! But hey, that's a good illustration. You got to shake some things off. You let too many things fester. Too many Christians. That's why you don't have the happiness, the joy of the Lord in your life. We need to shake off tonight. Let's determine to shake it off. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take this simple message. I pray apply it to our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to understand it, be obedient to it. I pray tonight we'll take care of some business. We'll shake off some of these attitudes, some of these vipers. Shake off that animosity, those accusations. Shake off that arrogance. Oh, dear God, the Apostle Paul was right there. He faced it all. He had to do it. Had to shake it off so he could keep on going. Have a ministry. Was able to win people to Christ. There and heal people. And the people were changed their minds. And they were sensitive now to the preaching. Because he didn't let those things fester. He shook it off. Lord, help us to shake these things off. I pray you have your willing way in the invitation. Be with the pastor as he comes. Help us, dear God, to be obedient. We'll give you the glory for it.